We need everybody to stay in because we're starting a new series in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So everyone, if you got a Bible at home, awesome, open it up. If not, it's probably on your TV or mobile device, whatever you have. But let's follow with me as I read Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment. And Lord, in this moment, wherever we are watching this, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open and prepared to what your Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us in this moment. I pray, Lord, as we look at your word and as we think about our lives, that, Lord, you transform us more and more into your likeness. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to say, in full disclosure, I am being incredibly selfish about the sermon series that I'm about to do for the month of May. And here's the reason why. I've entitled this series, Unshakable Joy. And this series is an audible from what I had actually had planned from a few months ago as I was doing sermon planning for the entire year. As I was doing sermon planning for the entire year for this year, I had something else. But this series, this idea of joy has been working inside of my mind and body and soul for about the last month or so. I mean, what does it look like to have joy in every part of your life? What does that mean when I even say, what does it mean to have joy in every part of your life? How do we go about our lives in the midst of everything that surrounds us right now with a joy that is unshakable, with a joy that is a part of us that gets to move us through the day? A joy that is not stolen by circumstances or events. And I don't know about you, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this series, is that's been hard for me to hold on to joy with all the circumstances and events and stories I'm hearing. Joy seems to be robbed from me rather quickly in a day. But this is a type of joy that resides deep within us, a joy that is rooted in something that is much richer and deeper than just the cursory things of the world, a joy that does not come and go based on how I perceived my day went. It's a joy that is based not on the light and momentary things of the world. No, what I really want to talk about is a joy that outlasts all of this, a joy that stays in us, a joy that works in us, a joy that can be in every part of our life, even in these moments, where we can still have a smile and say what the psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. And listen to this, weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's the kind of joy I'm looking for, a joy that at the end of Psalm 30, the psalmist says this joy has the power to turn mourning into dancing, that you can remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Even in the midst of mourning, there is a joy in me that says I can praise your name forever. That's the kind of joy I'm looking for, and I think that's the kind of joy we're all searching for in life. A joy that permeates, that works its way into all parts of life. A joy that is not fleeting and not here today and gone tomorrow, but a joy that lifts up. This is the kind of joy that is more than just an emotion. It's a way of being, and I bet you know those people. You know those people that it's just a way of being. They have a way of looking at life, even in the tough instances of life. They have a way of speaking about it. They use language we're not used to hearing in those moments, but they can use that language, and they can still praise God and look for the dancing that comes in the morning. This is the kind of joy that I want all of us to learn how to embody. I want myself to learn how to embody, because I think this joy that we see Paul talking about in Philippians is that kind of joy, a joy that can help us move through our day and see our day differently. But as we get started, I also don't want us to think this. I don't want you to think that I'm speaking of some Pollyanna kind of way of being. It does not mean that we're going to be, as I said last week, that we're going to be immune from the struggles and heartaches of the world. But the search for this unshakable joy will not give us, will not get us out of being hurt, of not get us out of being of things happening to us. But what I'm hoping for this search, what I'm hoping for this search for this kind of joy looks like, is that it will help us to not become bitter in our hardships. And you know what I mean by that, right? There's a tendency for hardships and struggles to do one of two things to us. They can embitter us. They can make us look at the world in a certain way. Or this idea of joy that Paul talks about can help us get through these hardships and not embitter us, but embolden us to live life. It's what Archbishop Desmond Tutu says about joy, and I love what he says about joy here. He says, "Discovering bore joy does not, I'm sorry to say, save us from the inevitability of hardships and heartbreak. In fact, we may cry more easily, but we will laugh more easily too. And perhaps we are just more alive. Yet as we discover more joy, we can face suffering in a way that ennobles rather than embitters." And Desmond Tutu is one of my favorite kind of people in the world, kind of celebrity type people in the world. And if you don't know what he looks like, this is him. This is, I mean, you look at him and you smile. Tell me you don't look at him and just smile. But this is a man who was Archbishop of South Africa during apartheid. This was a man who was put in prison numerous times. This was a man who saw the struggles of all of that, and yet still, and by the way, has gone through cancer treatments twice and is going through one right now, and yet this is his face. This is his posture. When you see it, you can't help but smile. There's a joy even in him that irradiates. That's the kind of joy that I think we're all searching for. A joy that can cut through and not embitter, but ennoble. And we see this most poignantly in the text for today. And I believe as we journey through the letter of Philippians with Paul, we're going to see this kind of thing jump out at us. Because Philippians is known as the letter of encouragement. It's a letter of joy to the people of Philippi. Paul, while he's in prison in Ephesus, writes to the people of Philippi, and this is what he said, and maybe you caught it in our reading. In the very first few verses, he says this, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Now, how can Paul say, "With joy I'm praying for you," while he's sitting in a jail cell? Because this is no joyful situation that Paul is speaking about right now. I mean, he's in jail. This is not the best place to be. And yet, Paul speaks of a joy that is bursting out of him as he thinks about his community in Philippi. This is a joy that burst out of him as he prays in a jail cell, "With joy I pray for you." And that's what got me thinking about all of this and this circumstance that we're in, that I believe that many of us, including myself, our lives have a joy, but it's been rooted in the wrong things. And you may know this, but I want us to think about it for a few minutes. Because I think much of the things that our lives are rooted in when it comes to joy is on the outside things of life. And what I mean by that is this. Maybe your joy is rooted in status, how people see you, how people talk about you. I mean, when people say good things about you or praise you, you have pretty good days. You feel good about yourself. And so maybe it's in that. Or maybe your joy is in the seeking of numbers. How much money you have in your bank account. What does your portfolio say today? What does your retirement say today? When it's up, you're up. When it's down, you're down. Or maybe your joy is rooted in the things that you have around you. What kind of car you're driving, the house you live in, the clothes you wear. I mean, my wife would probably attest this is part of my thing when it comes to clothes I wear. But with the clothes you wear, maybe it's so that you can have these fun toys and you can show them off to everyone. And you find yourself with joy when you're able to have show and tell with all your friends who come over and see what you have. And maybe it's that, a joy that's rooted in the outside situations of life, though tend to be a joy that is like a mist, as I'm stealing from James. It's here 1 minute and then gone the next. It's a schizophrenic way of being. It's not a true joyfulness on the inner self because you keep needing a fix in order to feel that joy. You keep needing something to kind of give you that joy, and it's all coming from the outside. However, when we read this part of Philippians, this opening part of the letter, we notice that Paul's joy is not rooted in the outside circumstances of life, because if that is, all we would read is a letter of a guy in prison. All we'd read is a letter of a guy who's looking at his cell walls and saying, "Woe is me." But we don't hear that in this letter. Did you notice that? In this intro, you don't hear a lick about that. Instead, what we see is Paul's joy is rooted in something for Paul that is more foundational and lasting than even prison. In the direst of circumstances, he can speak of thankfulness and joy. And if we think about this, when we think about joy, there was a study done at the Institute of Neuroscience in Glasgow. And what they did was they did a study to figure out what are the four foundational emotions in people's lives. And how they did that was they basically tracked people and showed facial expressions. So how people did facial expressions is how they kind of tracked these four emotions. And the four foundational emotions for humanity are this: sadness, anger, fear, and joy. Sadness, anger, fear, and joy. Now I want you to notice three of those are negative: sadness, anger, fear. There's only one positive: joy. Of the four, 75% of our emotions are negative in the way we think. Paul, as we read this letter, has discovered to live into the one positive emotion: joy. Even in the midst of the moment in which he has every right to be sad and angry and fearful, and he would be able to write any of those on his letters and say, "This is how I'm feeling," Paul's able to tap into the one positive emotion: joy. A joy that, get this, is not about himself. Did you catch that? Him being in prison is not the end of the story, as he writes to the Philippians. He is not in this by himself. Did you catch that in verse 3, 4, and even 5? It's your sharing in the gospel with me. It's because of you I am thankful for. It's because of all of this. This joy is not just rooted in him. It's not self-centered. It's about others as well. He's not by himself in this, but he is part of an amazing community of the body of Christ. And he says that throughout, that I take joy. There's this joy in me knowing that you share in this as well with me. Joy is rooted in, get this, the person and the community of Jesus Christ. Notice how many times we see Jesus mentioned in this. It is Christ that is sharing with Paul. It is Christ that is amongst Paul and his followers. While his situation is terrible, and I would even say most of us would say our situations could be considered terrible for what we're used to. I mean, look at my hair. I know it's no big deal to you, but as I was telling people this morning, my family decided to get clippers for me because my situation is getting dire when it comes to hair. My point being is we're all going through this in a certain way in which we can say our situation is terrible. The amazing thing about Paul is the terrible situation he is not governing how he acts, is not governing how he talks, is not governing who he is in this. Paul would definitely prefer to not be in prison, like any of us would prefer that this virus would just go away. But we don't hear him wallowing in his misfortunes or turning inward into a self-centered kind of way and saying, woe is me. Not even prison can rob Paul of the joy because of the life that he shares in Christ Jesus. Maybe Paul is truly living into the words of Galatians 2, 19 through 20 and showing us in this text what it looks like. As you remember what it says, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. Now get this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In this moment that Paul is in prison, he says, this is the life of Christ working in me. It is Christ who shares this with me. A life that, as we remember, in Christ was willing to give himself for the world in love. And also the one, and this is where we see joy kind of rooted in, also the one who holds the power of resurrection as well. So the psalmist can write, there's joy in the morning. You will turn my mourning into dancing. This situation does not define me. This situation does not identify me or tell me who I am. That joy that's rooted in Jesus, that's rooted in community, that's rooted in the body of Christ, that is the joy that can sustain us because we know there's a morning coming. It exudes out of Paul as he encourages the Philippians to keep on moving on because that same joy that resides in them through Christ, they are now also sharing. That same joy that resides in Paul, it resides in them because they share it in the body of Christ. And Paul is saying, we are in this together. My joy is connected to you, which is connected to Christ. It is an unshakable joy because it is rooted in the unshakable one. It is a joy not rooted in me, but we. Not mine, but ours. It's not my work, but our work in Jesus. And in Jesus, the good news will continue to move forward. You probably heard that as Paul's writing. Unshakable joy begins when we are honest about where our joy is rooted in. Is it status? Is it numbers? Is it situation? I think a lot of times we find out all too quickly, and probably during this time, some of us may have had these kind of come to Jesus moments about where our joy, where our lives are really rooted in, because what we find out is very quickly they can crumble like sand. They even lie to us, thinking, making us think that our lives should be perfect because we have this or we have this kind of status. My encouragement is to begin to be honest about where our joy is rooted in, because an unshakable joy begins when you begin, when I begin, when we all begin to root ourselves in something bigger, something greater, something imperishable. The life of Christ and the body of Christ, which is immovable and steadfast. I find myself saying this every week now. Unshakable joy is a way of being that says, I am not in this by myself, so I can praise God because I am not alone. There is a resurrection on the other side of this so that I can dance because I have all of you with me because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And I want to close with this quote from Martin Luther King. So I say to you, seek God and discover him and make him, a power in your life. Without him, all of our efforts turn to ashes. All of our sunrises into the darkest nights. Without him, life is a meaningless drama with the decisive scenes missing. But with him, we're able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. With him, we're able to rise from the midnight of desperation to the daybreak of joy. St. Augustine was right. We were made for God, and we will be restless until we find him. It's my hope this week that you begin to think about where your joy is coming from. And be honest with yourself of why you seem to have ups and downs, and realize that there is a joy that is inside of you through the Spirit that can help you move through these days and can get you through these moments in a way that you come out on the other end ennobled and not embittered, hopeful and not in despair. That's our hope for you. That's going to be our study for the next few weeks. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. Again, it's kind of selfish on my part because I need this as well, and I hope you need this as well too. I think we all do. Know that we love you. We'll talk to you soon, okay? See ya.